All right, this is Virgil Porter. You are listening to KSDP 830 on your AM dial, streaming live around the world at apradio.org. On the line, we have Representative Bob Herron, a Democrat for House District 37. He's from Bethel, and welcome to KSDP, and welcome to the show, Representative Herron.
Virgil, I'm glad to be here, and good afternoon to you and the listening audience out there in Sandpoint, King Cove, and other small communities that can hear you.
Well, hopefully we cover most of the Aleutians East Borough. I appreciate your time today and taking a moment away from the busy 28th legislative session. And I just wanted to touch base and have a basic introduction. We'd been represented from Bryce, but due to redistricting, we've now have you as a representative.
Yeah, of course, my friend, good friend Bryce, we've served together for 4 years, but many years ago we were both legislative aides down here. But yeah, I guess I'll start with a polite tone that in the wisdom of the redistricting board is they felt that it made sense to take the communities from Clark's Point to the end of the peninsula, then all the chain, and give them to me and to give it to Bethel, and then to take all the communities that surround Bethel and give them to Bryce. And so literally now I represent the peninsula and a lot of islands, and the islands include the Pribilofs, Macoryuk, of course the chain, and an island of Bethel, because every community around Bethel has been given to someone else. But with that, that's what we got. I've had a chance to get out into my new district, and I'm excited to learn and to work with the people of my new communities on making the communities and the families and the people that live in those communities a better place.
So just to bring everybody up to speed, every 10 years, the state of Alaska redistricts. This one doesn't look like it's totally through. 2 years is the approximate that the state Supreme Court has given the redistricting board to try once again. Is that correct?
Yes, Virgil, that's correct. They came out with a plan. It was contested. The Supreme says, here's how we'd like you to do it. It's called the Hickel Plan, where you figure out what's the best plan based upon the state constitution, and then you can take a look under federal law, the Voting Rights Act of 1965. That still works. Again, in the wisdom of the redistricting board, they chose not to take that advice, and they did it the way they did it the first time. But then it was too late before the deadline for candidates to sign up. So the Supreme said, okay, we'll let it go, but guess what? We're going to come back with an opinion later on what we want you to do for the next round. And to nobody's surprise, they chastised the redistricting board, says, look, we told you to follow the Hickel Plan. We're telling you again, follow the Hickel Plan, which is first the Constitution of the state of Alaska, then the federal law. I believe that, for the most part, there's 40 House districts. Is 34, 35 probably won't change much. But in southeast Alaska, there may be changes. There may be some tweaks around the Fairbanks area, and there may be some changes in southwest Alaska, that where we live. But then maybe they'll find by following the Hickel Plan that there is not going to be any changes. So I would assume the redistricting board will respond to the Supremes within the next 12 months.
Well, I guess we can thank our lucky stars that we didn't get somebody from Anchorage representing us. They didn't squeeze a thumb out in that direction. Luckily, we're both representatives, both Representative Herron yourself and Representative Edgman. Both rural communities, you're working together even on some bills. And let's talk about this this legislation that you're working with Representative Edgman on this year, House Bill 39. Can you talk about this? It's a PCE bill, and what's the specifics on it this year?
Yes, power cost equalization. We'd like to increase it from 500 kilowatts to 600 kilowatts. And we'd like to, again, join with our colleagues out here to talk about, you know, should small businesses out in Western Alaska have an advantage to some sort of PC assistance. And then we want to have that conversation again about schools. And so you could even say that because Fairbanks is a big, of course, interior community, is should they qualify for PCE? Well, I'm not so concerned about Fairbanks, but I am concerned about maybe finding a way that we could bump the kilowatt limit up, help out some small businesses, and definitely try to have engage that conversation again about helping out schools in our communities throughout the region.
I also took a moment and listened to a grand interview. Moving on from PCE, my apologies, I didn't do a very good transition. I got to listen to KYUK's news piece on you, and you had talked about the problem of energy and the problem of transporting energy out here and thinking of creative ways for supplying fuel. We in the Gulf of Alaska, thankfully we have an ice-free port and we do have deep-water ports. Tell us about some of the interesting ideas for fuel delivery out there.
Well, that's the difference between the Kuskokwim River and the Yukon River is that we have a short season to deliver fuel products, and shallow water is where in areas of the state that have high ice-free year-round, you don't have to, you still have to bring in large quantities, but it's some communities on the chain enjoy way less prices than us, and of course the big community of Unalaska enjoys in relative terms to others a good price on fuel and heat, gasoline and heating fuel. In Bethel, it's both products are around $7, and then to have heating fuel delivered to your house, you know, of course you have to pay someone to deliver it unless you have your own tank that you can haul on a trailer or something, but just the boats, snow machines, it's just a tremendous cost. And so I think that in that interview with KYUK, and the reporter's name was Mark, he sort of took my comments out of context, because it will be impossible to deliver a year's worth of, say, for example, a month's worth of supply to Bethel or any other small community year-round. It's physically impossible. So, I think that's just the challenge, is how do we get alternative energy to remote locations? And it'll always be a difficult question. And so for the Bethel region or communities on the Yukon or the Kuskokwim is, high-power electrical lines from generating plants. Maybe that's a way to go. Should hopefully when we get gas into South Central is that communities along the chain could somehow enjoy the advantages of LNG. So these are huge policy implications that we got to hopefully figure out, because we're a resource-rich state. It's just that we're not a infrastructure delivery system rich state. So continuing on, that's the challenges and the advantages of living in Alaska.
Yeah, going on, are there alternative energy projects in Bethel that you're pursuing to maybe cut down on the cost of or need for some of this heating fuel, something to generate electricity other than diesel power, I'm assuming? Is what it's
wind power is in a lot of the communities in around Bethel, of course around the state, is wind power. Wind turbines are doing real well, but for some of the areas that don't enjoy wind capacity, is trying to figure out efficiencies with diesel fuel.
All right. We've been doing wind out here. TDX, our local power corporation, has installed a couple of wind generators from, I believe, St. Paul is where their pilot project was. Akutan's looking at geothermal. The problem that, you know, with these alternative energy sources, the second half of the equation is, well, you don't have wind all the time, so how do you store the power? And maybe is that part of the discussion in this energy generation at the legislature, you know, for not only here's alternative sources of energy, but power storage?
Oh, yeah, that's technology that we're investing in. I mean, the state of Alaska is investing in and trying to take advantage of storing that power when it's in excess. And so there's a couple of communities on the Kuskokwim Bay that they do store their excess energy, and then they use that excess energy to supply stoves that are based upon that stored energy. So it's happened. Can it happen on a grand scale? Does it cost money? Of course it does. And so, but I think the Alaska Energy Authority and the Renewable Energy Project Program is successful, and hopefully the next round of money, I think, is about $150 million. We'll get some projects somewhere in Alaska where it makes sense.
All right. Well, I'd like to move on to fisheries. You are on, you're a member of the House Committee on Fisheries, and you actually have a bill for Chinook Research and Restoration Endowment. So we're looking at the king salmon, and I had asked you before we went live on air whether that tied in with Governor Parnell's announcement last fall, and you'd said a little bit it kind of worked together. Can you explain that a little more?
Sure. Last year I introduced legislation, Chinook Endowment Fund. And so you take an amount of money, and the number that we used last year was $50 million. You take that and put it in a savings account under the control of the state of Alaska. It's not dedicated. If we needed to borrow some money or use that money for other services around the state, the legislature has access to it all the time. But the revenue that you would generate out of that savings account would go toward research projects to try to figure out what's going on with the king salmon. And there are several factors. There's not going to be one solution or one easy answer to why the low returns. There is, of course, ocean acidification. There's climate change. There's too much or lack of density in the spawning grounds? You know, what's happening with that smolt when it's leaving? What happens to that that small salmon that is entering the ocean? Is there a change in the predator strata? What effect does both subsistence and commercial fishing have on it? I mean, this is a huge plate to take a look at, this important, not only valuable food resource, but it's a part of our culture. It's a part of our identity. And what we need to do is right now is we need to expand the group of people studying it, the scientists. And so earnings we'd make off that money, we would basically go out to RFP, and we would ask for people to submit project proposals, and they could take, this could be an individual, it could be an organization, it could be a university, and then or a college, and you would study one part of that buffet of issues that are affecting the king salmon. And then, you know, you get more people involved in research rather than few. And so that's what I'm proposing to do. The governor's proposal is similar. He's just as concerned with all the impacts to the salmon. But his approach is a little different. $10 million this year, $10 million next year, $10 million in the third year, and they give it to Fish and Game, and they would study it. And so there's the difference. But whether it's mine or whether it's the legislature's or whether it's the governor's idea that comes out of this, the issue is that the king salmon is in decline. Hopefully it'll rebound. But the king salmon is the canary in the coal mine when it comes to salmon species. And if we can't figure out what's going on with the king salmon, when what happens when reds, chums, pinks, and silvers are affected because they have a similar life cycle. They spawn, they grow up a little bit, and then they leave, and they go out in the big bad world of the ocean. And so what changes are going on? So it's an interesting subject, but again, whatever comes best is what's going to be to the benefit of the salmon species, and I'm talking about all five of them.
Well, now, are there any issues that you see coming up in this 28th session? That there's the oil tax issue, which I'd like to touch on later, but for you personally, for regionally, have you... is there anything that you are driving to work on?
Well, I guess that's part of the exciting part of this challenge of having a brand new district is I'm reaching out to find out what makes sense. But I really have two good things going for me, three actually. Number one is I got staff that's been with me for a while. I've picked up on Duan that worked for Mia Castell last year, and of course she's from Unalaska. And then Bryce Edgman has represented the region for 6 years, and he's still in the legislature. So when I have a question or need help, I can go to him. And then of course Senator Lyman Hoffman has represented the Aleutians and Peninsula for 20 years. And so together with that Western Alaska team, I'm willing to take on any challenge that we face and opportunities that may come our way. So I'm just looking forward to learning what can I do to help out not just my district, but, Western Alaska. They asked me, before it was Bob Heron, a Democrat from Bethel, and they says, well, that's not really all I am. It was before I represented Bethel and the lower Kuskokwim. Now I represent communities that are very dependent on the South Bering Sea. And so I think that's what's important. What makes sense for the South Bering Sea and the families that live in this region?
Well, there's also the Western Gulf of Alaska and Central Gulf of Alaska included in that as well.
Well, what I mean by that is, the South Bering Sea means is everything that's related. Because I agree, but I mean, when they give you one word to label you as what region you're from, I didn't want to say Bethel, and I couldn't say Attu because I've never been there. But anything that's important to the Aleutians and to the Kuskokwim Bay and to the Kuskokwim River, the Pribilofs, the Mokoryak, that's what I meant by that label.
All righty. I did get a chance to speak with some of the folks up at the City of Sandpoint and the Aleutians East Borough. The Sandpoint is also we've got our borough office here in town as well. They both spoke, they both had a focus on some capital projects concerning transportation. Obviously, our lifeline out here is the Alaska Marine Highway, the ferry system. And they both had, they gave me a couple of lists of projects and items, and it all ties in. There's these ferry docks and everything that need work. There's also, talking about the Cold Bay Clinic, and then the weird Akatan hovercraft or alternative travel alternative research, I think that the discussion has moved on to them finding a different way other than a hovercraft of transporting people around there from the airport to the island. But those were the folks from both governments had just shared transportation issues out here. And have you heard anything about the Marine Highway and the workings there at the Capitol?
Well, of course, they just had a board meeting down here, and Mayor Shirley Marquardt, she was there, and she had some very, very pointed questions to DOT and the way they're going about ferry delivery services to our part of the region, our part of the state. Obviously, I think DOT is a little clueless now when it comes to listening to the concerns. You know, of course, the big dialogue is the decision not to include locals in changing the way they went about building some new ferries. But I'm going to work closely with my communities in addressing improvements to ferry system service. I'm on the Department of Transportation Finance Subcommittee, and so this is obviously a new learning experience for me, but given what I've heard in just a short period of time, I will continue to have very hard questions about how they don't forget about where Western Alaska is.
And they've even started discussing, you know, the one ferry that takes care of us out here, the Tustamina. It's going to be pretty much at the end of its lifespan. And considering, you know, there's been some difficulties in replacing, you know, these aged ferries in the southeast, and hopefully by the time they get to us, they get some of the kinks worked out.
One could hope.
Well, let's see. Now, have you had a chance to come and visit the Aleutians Eastboro?
No, it didn't work out. On a trip to Unalaska, I did fly over on a, me and my wife flew over on a just a drop dead gorgeous day when we refueled in Sandpoint, but I look forward to going out here, this summer and next summer. You know, when I'm not in Juneau, but I'm really looking forward to it. My trip to Unalaska was tremendous, and I did get to meet people from around the region at the tribal gathering. But I'm looking forward to visits to other communities.
Well, since we've been on the topic of the Alaska Marine Highway System, maybe you'd have a chance to take one of the last Tustamina runs, and you could stop at some of the major ports along the way, all the way out to Dutch.
You know, does make a lot of sense, and you know, it's I would hope that what I take away from that is how we can, I guess, convince DOT that. Again, I've said this over and over, is I live on the west side of the Alaska Range, and there are many more people that have never been to the west side, where nearly everybody on the west side of the Alaska Range has been in South Central. Literally every man, woman, and child in western Alaska, and that's from the Peninsula chain all the way to Nome Cots, everyone's been to Anchorage, but can you say about Anchorage people being over visiting us? No.
Yeah. Well, you've got a short race ahead of you. Just started on January 15th and ends April 14th. How can people get in touch with you? If people out here have concerns or something they'd like to talk with you about, what's the best way to reach you, Representative Heron?
There's the internet. You can call us up. Of course, you can write, but toll free number is 1-800-323-4944. 42. Email is rep.bob.herron@akleg.gov. And if you want to drop a letter in the mail, all you have to do is put my name on there and state capital, Juneau, Alaska, 99801. And then I do have Facebook, and so you can just look me up on Facebook, and Duan will gladly respond to you, and we'll start that conversation. And we're here ready to help. But if that's if you have the contact information for Representative Bryce Hedgman, he'll pass it along, which we're going to do for him. When a person from one of my old communities around Bethel calls me, I'll just help him out and then ask Bryce to pick up the slack.
All righty. I appreciate the time that you've shared with us, Representative Herron, Representative Bob Herron, on the line, live on KSDP. Thank you so much and taking some time out from the 28th session with us.
Okay, Virgil, I really appreciate this conversation. I look forward to future conversations, and good afternoon to your listening audience.
All right. Have a good afternoon as well. Enjoy Juneau.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.